dressy.
Beloved childhood pet?
A black Arcadian tomcat called Sir Vomzalot, so named because he chucked in my hair on the way back from the pet store.
Favourite book?
If I had to choose, probably And the Sky Starts to Sing by Dorothea Ennardi. I was lucky enough to meet her and get a signed copy before she passed. Couldn't bring it with me because of weight restrictions, sadly.
Favourite film?
Well, I want to say something artistic and highbrow so I look clever, but I'll have to go with Super Turbo Awesome Team versus Awesome Turbo Super Team. And before you ask, Team Moxie, all the way.
If you could travel back in time, where would you go?
Ah, that's easy. I'd go back to my 17th birthday last year and warn myself to beware of blondes.
How would your friends describe you?
I'd not believe anything my friends say if I were you. They're terrible judges of character. They're friends with me, after all.
Favourite memory?
Fishing with my grandfather on Kronos when I was a little boy. The sunsets would last 6 hours, and they'd cycle through every colour of the spectrum.
Where do you most want to travel to but have never been?
Nuovo Venice. Or the Crystal Gardens on Pangaea 3. Or the Sagan Rift. Too many.
If you were to create a piece of art, what would the subject be?
I haven't met her yet.
One thing you'd change if you had to do it over.
17th birthday. Blondes.
Blondes? As in plural?
Dirty pool, old chum. You said 10 questions.
Jackson. Expectations. Corporate drone. Uses building better tomorrow's slogan. Pretends to be charming with stupid cat stories. Actually names cat like a fucking knight. I haven't met her yet. Please. Condescending. Stick up butt because my dad is his boss. Of course he's Team Moxie. Blar. Acts extra pretentious to mask his age. Jackson. Reality. Handsome. Handsome. Funny. Handsome. That accent, though. Handsome. Handsome. Funny. Handsome. Charm level. My body is ready. My tiny little sketch gallery. He let me put tiny braids in his hair, as long as I didn't tell. He gave me real strawberries. He could do push-ups while I sat on his shoulders. He let me practice my punches on him. I looked at the stars. He looked at me. Jackson, present. 10 August 75. He took me to Tyson for our 6-month anniversary. My ridiculous, impossible romantic boyfriend cashed in every favor he had. He switched shifts, borrowed a shuttle, bribed his friends to distract my father, and pushed us through the jump gate. I've only ever made jumps in a huge liner before, with shutters down and stabilizers at full. The shuttle was nothing like that. We were thrown around like a leaf on the wind, rainbows streaking through the pitch black dark outside, strange shivers running down our arms and legs and setting our nerve endings tingling. And then everything was perfectly still and quiet, and we were galaxies away, so far that if we'd tried to travel there even at the speed of light, the whole of human civilization could have risen and fallen, and we still wouldn't have arrived. Impossibly, unimaginably far from home, with the waypoint behind us and endless stars stretching out in front of us. And I said, "Jax, it's beautiful." And he said, "Do you know why I brought you here?" I wanted to make a joke, but for once I didn't. I just shook my head. I know you want to see more of the universe than just Heimdall, he said. And I want to do that with you. I brought you here to see a whole sky of different stars. It's a promise, Hannah. A whole sky of different stars. Jackson, future. But do I want to be a station commander's wife? There are so many mountains I could climb. Where are we going, me and Jax? What are we promising? Shouldn't one of us say I love you? Shouldn't I say I love you? Do I?
WhisperNet. Date 08-11-75. Time 03-26 hours. Heimdall chat. Hannah Donnelly.
I have a question, Nick.
Whatever it was, I didn't do it.
Never mind.
That was a joke, Highness. You all right?
I'm fine. I'm not even sure what I'm trying to ask.
Okay.
Just, if nothing was ever going to happen with us, and I know in what passes for reality for you that's obviously not true, but just pretend, if nothing was ever going to happen, would you want to be my friend? Would you even be talking to me?
Wait. So I have to pretend you're not totally desperate to dive into my slims for a second and make like I have no chance whatsoever at the crown? Shit, Highness. I'm not sure my imagination goes that high.
You're right. It was a silly question. So, how's crime?
No, hey, wait up, wait up. It's not a stupid question. Yeah, sure. Of course I'd talk to you. You're chill. I like you.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Sure.
Where's this coming from, anyway?
Just feeling philosophical.
Is that code for drunk?
Thing is, Nick, you don't know the first thing about me. I mean, you know my name, you know my favorite flower, and you know not to try and touch me unless you want your arm broken. Which weirdly seems to be some kind of turn-on for you. That aside, whatever has you chasing me, it's nothing to do with who I am, because you have no idea who I am. Or am I wrong?
You didn't break it. It was only sprained.
Good night, Nick.
Countdown to Hypatia arrival at Heimdall Waypoint. 6 days, 16 hours, 52 minutes.
Briefing note. Looks like Nick Malakoff isn't the only one giving Hannah Donnelly heartburn. That poor girl's troubles just never let up.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Footage commences at 09:45 hours station time on 08:11:75. Hannah Donnelly enters the restricted access section of the Heimdall Station Bridge, sauntering on in as though she owns the place. To be fair, her daddy more or less does. As it happens, with Terror Day coming up, the station's on skeleton crew, and the good commander is out scaring the short off some unsuspecting junior staff in engineering. 4 fuel rods in the wormhole's interchange system are overdue for replacement. And Lexi Blue is still licking lollipops in his elevators, leaving the bridge occupied by just one man, Communications Officer Sam Wheaton. Sam's leaning over his monitor as though he's trying to protect it from the cold, hard truths of the world. But as he registers Hannah's presence, he comes to his feet, blinking rapidly, drying his palms off against the regulation grey trousers, gaze flicking up and down her in a way she definitely doesn't miss. The bridge is a restricted area, he informs her in his most official tone. She tucks her hands in the pockets of her bright red jumpsuit. I know. I don't mean to interrupt. There's that smile that melts the boys, that cheery tone. I sent through a few messages and I didn't get any response, so I thought maybe the comms team was stretched, what with Terror Day coming up. So I hoped maybe you wouldn't mind if I just popped up to see you for a moment. Bat, bat, go the lashes. You need to leave and put any communications requests through the proper channels, he replies, pausing to swallow hard and blinking again. They'll be dealt with according to priority. The bridge is a restricted area. You said that, she agrees mildly. Where's my father? You can make an appointment with the commander via his assistant, Miss Donnelly, he replies, and she huffs a soft laugh, taking a few steps closer. Don't I know it? She agrees. But I'm asking because I was hoping you could give me a hand before he gets back. I really have sent half a dozen messages, and I know the next step is to lodge a service complaint. But I don't want my father to hear about it and get anyone in trouble. All I need is my whisper net looked at. I don't... Are you suggesting I... What are you suggesting? He scowls. That we don't do our jobs? I'm in the middle of something, and you're not authorised to be here. Please leave. Or what? She sounds put out now, but as her hands push into her pockets a little deeper, she regains her calm. Or I'll be forced to remove you. He draws himself up a little straighter. She looks fitter than him, slender and tall, but he has bulk on his side. I just need my unit fixed. I'd really appreciate it if you could take a look at it for a moment. Are you sure you can't squeeze me in? They watch each other in silence for several long moments before he presumably decides that it's going to be quicker to help her than get rid of her. Well, now that you're here, I suppose we may as well. You're too kind, she replies with a smile and no detectable sarcasm. I was just trying to talk to the guys at the dojo, and it's rendering everything in all caps. It looks like I'm shouting at everyone I talk to. You? That's hard to imagine, he mutters. You're probably sub-vocalizing incorrectly. Do you understand how the system works? Yes, she says, now striving a little more visibly for politeness. I've been using it for months. She looks even less impressed a moment later, when he continues as though he didn't hear her. Your WhisperNet device consists of two parts. The contact lens in your eye projects the screen for you. The display shows your chats, your diary reminders, whatever else you've selected. It's designed to be transparent, so it's overlaid on whatever you're actually seeing. Yes, she agrees, staring right at him, the veneer of diplomacy finally wearing thin. Right now, I'm seeing a guy giving me a lesson in something I already know. Wheaton huffs. You're hearing me give the lesson, not seeing it, he points out snarkily. Anyway, the second component is your tooth implant. It picks up your sub-vocalizations and renders them into chat, saving us all from having to listen to you talking to your little friends about your latest manicure. You've got to be... So when there's an issue with the way the text is rendering, it's almost always user error. A little delicacy works wonders. You're saying I'm pushing it too hard? One brow's lifted now. I'm saying you clearly don't know any other way to operate, so I'd suggest you try coming at it a little more gently, and in the meantime, get off the bridge. I've never had a problem with the way it renders before, she points out. Isn't there a diagnostic you can get off the bridge? He repeats, shifting his weight to square up with her. It's a restricted area and I'm working on a priority job. Do I need to call someone to escort you? No, you condescending. She gets no further before he reaches out to grab her upper arm, grip tightening as her mouth falls open. Then her hand leaves her pocket just about too fast to track, and the hold she gets on his wrist has him wincing sharply and freezing in place. As he falls perfectly, precisely still, she leans in to speak in his ear. The audio doesn't pick up what she says, but surprisingly, it turns out Officer Sam Wheaton can look more uncomfortable than she's already made him. Just what might have happened next, we're left to wonder. Chief of Engineering Isaac Grant makes what is, for Sam at least, a very timely appearance, halting at the bridge's entrance to take in the scene and raising both brows. "Ms. Donnelly, can I help you?" A little cautious, his tone. "Mr. Wheaton?" "I think we're fine," she replies, body tense, tone neutral. "Aren't we fine, Sam?" Wheaton finally loosens his grip, and in turn she releases him. "No problem, sir," he says, eyes down. "Sam was just taking a look at my whisper net," she says, turning away from him to look across at Grant, and finding her smile once more. But he doesn't seem to be able to understand the problem. "Is that what was happening?" Grant asks, still stern. "More or less," she replies, like butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. Grant stares at Wheaton a moment longer, turns at last to Hannah. "God forbid you ever meet my daughter," he mutters. "Well, we'd better get that sorted out. Come down to engineering with me, and we'll leave Sam to his work." They exit the view of the bridge camera at 09:49 hours station time, leaving Wheaton in sole possession of the bridge once more.
Briefing note. IM conversation conducted over the course of several hours. Instant messaging over interstellar distances? Not so much.
Personal message. Onboard IM system. From Director Frobisher, Baytech Headquarters. To Rapier Operative. Incept 08-1175.
Frobisher, L, Director. Good morning, Sam.
Rapier. Director Taylor?
I'm afraid not. My name is Leanne Frobisher. I'm now leading the Baytech Acquisitions Division. It's a pleasure to meet you.
What happened to Taylor?
David Taylor is no longer an employee of Baytech Industries.
Are you kidding? He bailed mid-operation? We're in a world of shit out here.
Yes, I read your latest communique with great interest. As did the Baytech Executive Board. And the Oversight Committee.
Oh, fuck.
Quite.
Listen, I was just following orders. I did what Taylor told me.
I know, Sam. Director Taylor spoke at length before he left us. But take me through your side of things, just so I'm clear. And, Sam, if you're a religious man, pray your story matches up with the one Taylor sang as he died.
I've been aboard Heimdall about a year. Deep cover. Monitoring all comms aboard the station. Nothing gets passed without my say-so. Original plan was to erase all communications from the Carenza sector, so no word of the colony attack could get through to the core. Taylor figured by the time WUC worked out we'd attack the Hermium mine, it'd already be in our hands. And the mine was illegal, so it's not like WUC could go squealing to the UTA about it.
And then the Alexander arrived.
Fubar'd the whole deal. We had no idea the UTA was testing a warship out there. I mean, the Carenza system's worthless on paper. What are the fucking odds?
You were careless. Taylor was an idiot. And that carelessness and idiocy cost this company four dreadnoughts and a prototype jump platform worth 40 trillion-ish.
I told Taylor we should call foul when the plan went to hell. But he was shitting himself. Said he couldn't tell the board we'd lost Jump Platform Magellan without having something to show for it. He said it had cost him his job.
It seems Director Taylor had a gift for understatement. And so, instead of informing the board, he bet everything on the Lincoln catching the Alexander before it reached Heimdall.
I told him it was too much of a risk, but the Alexander was fucked. Look, I have a transmission. From January. I'll send it.
Alexander 78V. Communication intercept. To UTA Headquarters, Ares 6. From UTA Battle Carrier Alexander, 78V, Carenza System. Incept 012975. Secure ident 9F93U. Confirm.
Good morning, Command. This is UTA Battle Carrier Alexander Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network, AIDEN, transmitting on behalf of General David Torrance, UTN 944-253AD. I am authorized to relay the following. At 14:59 hours on 01-29-75, Battle Carrier Alexander traveled via self-generated wormhole to Carenza 4, where it was confirmed an attack upon unregistered Wallace-Ulanov Consortium mining operations was underway by Baytech forces. Baytech attack fleet consisted of 4 Dreadnought-class vessels, designations Zhongzheng, Kenyatta, Lincoln, Churchill, 1 prototype mobile jump platform of unknown design, designation Magellan, 4 small Yorkshire Terriers, and it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a fortune must be in want of a error. In accordance with standard engagement protocols, jump platform Magellan was disabled. Dreadnoughts Kenyatta and Churchill sustained serious damage. Dreadnought Zhongzheng was destroyed. They burned everyone inside her, like tiny suns. They error. Alexander has sustained serious damage. Wormhole generator is currently offline. Crew levels depleted to 74.65% strength. Artificial Intelligence Defense Analytics Network has error. Error. Alexander has commenced tactical withdrawal and is currently escorting 2 WUC vessels, designations Copernicus and Hypatia, at suboptimal speeds toward closest jump waypoint, designation Heimdall. 4,445 civilians aboard. Baytech Dreadnought BT-042-TN, designation Lincoln, pursuing. Estimate chances of Alexander's survival through secondary engagement with the Lincoln as approximately 22.79827101%. Request additional UTA forces be deployed to request additional. I do not. I request additional UTA forces be deployed to Carenza sector immediately. Please hurry. I do not feel well. Have a nice day.
Personal message. Onboard IM system. From Director Frobisher, Baytech Headquarters. To Rapier Operative. Incept 08-1175.
See? The Alexander's AI was wrecked. Lincoln should have been able to take it out.
I know, Sam. I've read all that.
Well, then you know I was officially on record telling Taylor this was a shit plan.
And yet you complied with his directives.
What the hell was I supposed to do? Taylor was my CO. I did what he fucking told me.
Calm down, Sam. I admire a man who's loyal. It should serve you very well in days ahead.
So, I guess this means you're pulling me out, right?
Why on earth would we do that?
Because the plan is f***ed. Hypatia arrives at the Heimdall waypoint in 5 days. You have Taylor for a scapegoat. Just say you went rogue and throw him to the f***ing wolves.
If word of this debacle gets out, Baytech Industries would have to admit we're developing psychoactive bioweapons in violation of the Arakee Accord. We'd also have to admit we're developing mobile jump gate technology. And that we lost our only working prototype. Baytech crews decimated a civilian settlement. albeit an illegal one. A mining colony, full of families and children, for God's sake. If those idiots hadn't fired on a UTA vessel, we might have salvaged something from this mess. As it is, this stands to be an unprecedented PR disaster.
This is insane. We need to get out of this now before it gets any deeper.
Now you listen to me. We are all in this up to our necks. You think I'm happy about cleaning up Taylor's vomit? Think again. But we are both employees of Baytech Industries, and if word of this breaks, it will end this company. So stop whining like a goddamn child and get back on the clock.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you've been erasing all communications from the Carenza sector, correct? So no word of the colony attack or incidents aboard Alexander or Hypatia has gotten through?
Affirmative. And I've heard nothing from the Carenza attack fleet since mid-February.
Aren't some people aboard Heimdall in the know about the mine? Aren't they wondering why it went silent?
I lied with the truth. Told them the UTA is testing a warship out by the Carenza asteroid ring, so the colony has gone dark to avoid detection.
They believe the UTA has been testing out there for over 6 months?
Story's wearing thin, sure. But I fake a short AOK message from the colony every week to let Heimdall know everything's chill. And honestly, how the hell do these WUC boys know what the United Terran Authority gets up to? They're so scared about their little hermium outfit being discovered, they're just clenching both cheeks and praying at this point.
And what about the UTA? Why didn't they drop into the Carenza system like an anvil when Alexander stopped transmitting?
Alexander was packing up stunts for the Gaia sector to stress test their rad shielding when the Carenza SOS arrived. And they were nice enough to send their daily ident codes in every emergency transmission I intercepted since the attack. So I just transmitted to the UTA it was situation normal. When they arrived at Gaius, I doctored a story about a fault in their jump gate generator. Used all their lingo. Then they went dark.
So the UTA is looking for the Alexander in the Gaius system?
Presumably.
Sooner or later, they're going to come sniffing around Carenza.
I told you this was a shit plan.
Those days are over. A team of auditors is inbound to Heimdall as we speak.
Wait. Auditors?
Yes, Sam. Auditors. We need to get ships into the Carenza system to destroy the Hypatia before she arrives at Heimdall. And we can't risk an open assault on the station. Too noisy. Terra Day is coming up. Most of Heimdall's crew are on shore leave, yes?
Affirmative. We'll be on skeleton crew for 2 weeks, and they're taking the opportunity to perform maintenance on the wormhole, so there's no civvy traffic in or out.
So, we do this quickly, quietly. Take the station, get our fleet in, and take our witnesses out. Then we leave without a trace.
Look, Director, the maintenance that engineering is running on the wormhole is serious business. We're essentially sitting on a rip in the fabric of space-time here. If things go south, they go south all the way. So I'm not sure it's a good idea to start shooting the place up.
The auditors I'm sending are top-notch. They'll not be shooting up anything. They don't have to. They'll have specialists with them to manage the wormhole. And we'll still have the Heimdall engineering staff on hand to assist.
So what the hell am I supposed to do in all this?
That's an excellent question, Sam, with a very simple answer. You are going to get our team on board.
Briefing note. Nick Malikov's hijacked guest ID gets an unwelcome call.
WhisperNet. Date 08-11-75. Time 16:50 hours. Heimdall chat. Guest 423.
Wheaton S. Hello, Mr. Malikov.
Guest 423.
Who the f*** is this?
My name is unimportant. I guess that's why you left it attached to your WhisperNet login, huh? You can see that? The little spider sees everything, Wheaton. You're that pasty f***er who works in comms, right? I seen you around. What you want, Sammy? I got biz. I... Spit it out, bitch. You want to fly, yeah? It's 200 a gram. I'm dry till the 15th, so if you need it before then, you're SOL. Feel me?
I don't want your drugs.
Well, if you need someone to talk dirty, you pinged the wrong ID.
I need you to get something on board for me. A package. One that doesn't need to go through station quarantine or appear on docking records.
Is that right?
Yes. You people smuggle things aboard for yourselves all the time. Now you can smuggle for me. It's a biotainer. It'll be arriving on the 15th. I need it offloaded in...
Hold the fucking pad, chum. I don't know you. You dusted talking about this shit on an open line? Give me one good reason why I don't end this link right now and leave your pasty ass swinging in the shoulders.
I know you're dealing dust to Hannah Donnelly.
Is that a fact?
Your spider isn't the only one with fingers in the comms system on this station. I do this for a living, Malakoff. I'm looking at your records. Your criminal records.
Those records were sealed by the court.
Like I say, I do this for a living. I know what you are.
And what's that, Sammy?
You're the kid who's going to help me get what I need. Or I spill to your uncle you're dealing dust to the station commander's daughter. And I spill to Hannah Donnelly what you went to prison for. You feel that?
You have any idea who you're fucking with here? You think-
Yeah, yeah. Big bad house of knives. I'll wake up one night with 3 bullets in my face and my tongue floating in my toilet. I get it. Meantime, I'm sending you ship details. You make sure this biotainer stays off the docking system grid and doesn't get offloaded by anyone except your people when it arrives.
And what do I tell my uncle? You think we work for fucking charity?
Send me your account details. You'll be adequately compensated, believe me. I'd tell you how much ish you all stand to make, but I doubt you can count that high. The biotainer arrives on the 15th. Terra Day. 1500 hours. Get your people on it. Are we clear? Malakoff, are we clear?
Yeah. Yeah, we're real clear, Sammy.
I'll be in touch in 2 days to make sure everything's sorted at your end. Oh. And Malakoff?
Yeah.
Who's the bitch now? Huh?
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Hannah Donnelly, H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. To Charles Donnelly, C. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08-12-75. Time, 15:54 hours. Subject, Terra Day Party.
Hi, Dad. I checked your schedule, and as far as I can tell, you're on duty for the rest of my natural life, so I'm reduced to mailing you. This is no way to live! Anyway, here we go. 1. I took down Sim Program 17 at the dojo. Oh, yes, you heard me right, and they said that program wasn't suitable for Krav Maga practice. Timing is everything. Your move, old man. 2. I had study group with Claire and Keiko this morning, and we need to access a bunch of history vids. You have to sign my permission because I'm under 18, and apparently they contain recreated/simulated violence. Stop laughing. I tried pointing out to the instructor that the war game sims you and I play are 10 times worse, but no dice. I'm sending them through to your console for an e-cig, please. Keiko's mom is ridiculous about fake blood, so easier to get you to do it. 3. Can I have a little extra ish to get an outfit for the Terra Day party? I saw a really nice jumpsuit, and if I order today, it'll make it in on the last shipment before the party. 4. Speaking of the party, can I hang down the back with Jackson while you do your speechifying? I mean, you know I love you, but boring. I promise I'll do my duty once it comes time to mingle. 5. I hope you at least appreciate my honesty in not making up an excuse for wanting to avoid the dais. Isn't that endearing? Lots of love. Squeak.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Charles Donnelly. See Donnelly Heimdall on board. To Hannah Donnelly. H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08-12-75. Time 16:48 hours. Subject Terra Day Party.
Why must you insist on growing up? I'm sure we've talked about this before. Are you sure you're old enough to be dating, Squeak? I'd rather you were on the dais with me, but I do admit we'll have a long list of duties on the day, so if you want to spend a little of it with your beau, that's okay. Just keep in mind that you're still on display, wherever you are. Jackson knows he needs to behave, yes?
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Hannah Donnelly, H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. To Charles Donnelly, C. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08-12-75. Time 16:52 hours. Subject Terra Day Party.
I can't believe you think you have to ask that. Anyway, you know you scare him. Keep on doing that. BTW, it's funny when he's nervous.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Charles Donnelly, C. Donnelly Heimdall on board, to Hannah Donnelly, H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08-12-75. Time 17:19 hours. Subject Terra Day Party.
Don't think I didn't see young Jackson's hands wandering during the reception for the Orica Lassand execs the other week. Perhaps this time you can provide him with one of your famous illustrated diagrams, indicating areas of the body approved for contact. Over the clothes, naturally.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Hannah Donnelly. H. Donnelly Heimdall on board, to Charles Donnelly, C. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08-12-75. Time 17:22 hours. Subject Terra Day Party.
OMG, Dad, you are mortifying.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Charles Donnelly. C. Donnelly Heimdall on board. To Hannah Donnelly. H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08-12-75. Time 18:31 hours. Subject Terra Day Party.
In that case, I can only assume I am parenting well. I believe it comes with the job description. I adjusted my schedule so my watch finishes at 2000 hours tonight. So if you can wait a little for dinner, we can hit the dojo. Prepare to die amid simulated violence, youngling. Then grab something to eat together. Love, Dad the Mortifying. P.S. E-Sig provided for your vid access form and requested ish is in your account. I'm aware we are past the last date for personal shipments to arrive before Terra Day, and assume you have taken the cheeky step of ordering in anticipation of my obliging you with extra funds. Am I so predictable? P.P.S. On a related matter, didn't I just give you your allowance? What in the name of all that's holy do you do with it all?
WhisperNet. Date 08-12-75. Time 19:32 hours. Heimdall chat. Hannah Donnelly.
Donnelly H. Tell me I'm amazing.
Merrick J.
Again?
That's the response you're going to choose? I want you to imagine my eyes boring into you right now, determining your future.
Sorry. I'm just a little under the pump at the mo. But no excuses, Merrick. You're amazing. As I try to tell you every day. Might I ask why I'm telling you at this particular moment, though?
Let me count the ways. Dad says I can lurk up the back with you during the speeches, though he will be watching the exact placement of your hands at all times.
Outrageous.
He probably feels this will be necessary due to reason number two, which is the Dene Matresco jumpsuit that should arrive for me on today's shipment. Your jaw will drop.
Is she that designer with the genetically modified hairless corgi and seven husbands, all named Jean-Luc? Or is it seven corgis and a genetically modified hairless husband?
You are hopeless.
True.
She has two husbands and four hairless corgis, which frankly makes perfect sense in zero grav. Otherwise, what would you do with the fur when they shed?
That actually makes very little...
Anyway, you are focused on the wrong bit. Dene Matresco jumpsuit. The cut on her stuffed jacks, you are not going to be thinking about her pets.
Isn't her gear really expensive? I heard the standard rate for one of her handbags is your firstborn man-child. Not sure I'm keen on the idea of handing over Jackson Jr. just to match an ensemble.
She already has two husbands. She doesn't need Jax Jr. Dad gave me a little extra pocket money, which is handy because I'd already ordered it.
You're incorrigible, madam. I like it.
So the plan is that I will see you at about 17:15 hours, and you will fall into a dead faint, overwhelmed by this outfit.
A manly faint, though, right?
And you will remember to block my plobe right beforehand so I can pick up the post-match entertainment? Hello?
Sorry, I'm here. Under the pump, like I say. I need about seven more sets of hands. Eight, by the sounds of this jumpsuit. Wink, wink. Right. Plobe blocked. Fainting. Yes. Got it.
I will leave you to apply your hands to the things you are paid to do, but come party time, we're going to have fun, okay? It's not like Heimdall is famous for her crazy action.
Fun, yes. Just don't be late. You know how your dad gets. I'd rather enjoy avoiding another friendly man-to-man, if at all possible.
I consider those to be tests of your affection for me, but I'll be on time. Wouldn't want to miss a stirring word of the speeches. Ciao for now.
Ciao, Bella.
WhisperNet, date 08-1475, time 09-02 hours. Heimdall chat, guest 793.
Wheaton S.
Malakov.
Guest 793.
Hey, Fickstein, I was just talking about you. Are your people ready for tomorrow? Question. How do you expect to keep a girlfriend with no tongue in your head? You don't strike me as a ladies first kind of guy, but they're still pretty important in maintaining a healthy...
Put it back in your pants, kid. I'm not interested.
Are your people ready? Or do I break the news to your uncle and little Miss TNA?
We're ready.
You better be. We've been doing this for a while, kid. We can handle one delivery.
Just make sure you do.
When this is over, Wheaton, you and me are going to have a quiet chat. Feel me?
When this is over, Malakov, you and I will have nothing to chat about. 1500 hours. Sharp. Bay 17. Do not be late.
Connection terminated.
F***ing motherfucking piece of f***ing shit.
WhisperNet, date 08-1575, time 09-49 hours. Heimdall chat, Charles Donnelly.
Donnelly, C.
Isaac.
Grant, I.
Boss, I'm just about to queue up our auto response in case comms go down during maintenance. Anything I should know?
I'm guessing we're going to run slightly over the planned 6-day downtime due to this goddamn malware issue. Best to give us a full week of no traffic.
My alarm clock played that damnable lollipop song when it woke me this morning.
I know. It's into everything. We're on it. 7 days and we're golden.
I have faith. But make sure you give your people at least a little R&R tonight. Humanity doesn't leave its solar system every day.
Affirmative. Celebrate the little things, Helen always says. I've got a bottle of 57 Slonia I was planning to crack at midnight, if you'd like a taste.
Dare I ask where you got it?
Ignorance is bliss, Charles. But so is a dram of 57 Slonia.
Roger that, then. Donnelly out.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From auto response system, A.R. Heimdall on board, to all incoming, Incept 08-1575, time 10:00 hours, subject Heimdall maintenance. Auto response system message. Greetings from the Wallace-Ulanoff Consortium. Jump station Heimdall is currently undergoing scheduled maintenance. Our wormhole and waypoints to and from the following sectors will be offline from 08:1575 until 08:2275. Corwin, Hawking, Carenza, Ptolemy, Sane, Tyson. All travel to and from core systems through the above-listed waypoints will be unavailable during this period. It is also possible Jump Station Heimdall may experience intermittent outages of communications and other systems during maintenance. We will return to full operation status as of August 30. We apologize for any inconvenience caused. Please direct all inquiries regarding Jump Station Heimdall maintenance to Wallace-Ulanoff Consortium Headquarters on Ares 6. Have a nice day. Terra Day Celebrations. Favorite tunes and the latest new core tracks from our own DJ Soundwave. 15 August 1800 hours until late. Atrium level, command and control facility, Alpha Sector All Station personnel and visitors welcome. Dinner, Ethel and Stims, Clarity, PH3, and Vox provided. Door prizes and costume contest. Charity raffle for victims of the Lysergia plague. Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Hannah Donnelly, H. Donnelly Heimdall on board, to Jackson Merrick, J. Merrick Heimdall on board. Incept 08:1575. Time 14:30 hours. Subject, I am basically Medusa.
Hey, you, can you do the block on my locator from 1730 hours to 1800 hours instead? I had to push back picking up the party treats from your favorite guy as there is a hair disaster of epic proportions taking place right now at Chateau Donnelly. You don't want to know the details. Anyway, I told him I'll have to pick up and pay later. We'll hustle straight from there to the party in CNC, so I'll still be on time. You are the best. XOXOXO.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Jackson Merrick, J. Merrick Heimdall on board, to Hannah Donnelly, H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08:1575. Time 14:32 hours. Subject, I am basically Medusa.
Well, Medusa was apparently something of a stunner before the whole snake hair curse thing. Listen, why don't you just arrange to meet with Prison Boy after the function? That way there's no risk of you being late. You know there's no way I can cover for you to your father if you're not there. He'll notice. Read, explode.
Intercepted personal message on board system Heimdall. From Jackson Merrick, J. Merrick Heimdall on board, to Hannah Donnelly, H. Donnelly Heimdall on board. Incept 08:1575. Time 14:55 hours. Subject, I am basically Medusa.
Hello? Hannah? Are you ignoring me on your whisper net? You haven't angered any goddesses recently, have you? How serious is this hair emergency?
Briefing note. Following is a transcription of Heimdall security camera footage taken on Terra Day, 08-1575. No trace of these files was found on the Heimdall system. They were recovered from House of Knives hard drives.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Footage for this segment has been collected from cameras all over Docking Bay 17 of Heimdall Station, along with several externals. We open inside Service Elevator 17B on a shot of Handsome Mike Malakoff, Soraya Ian Hadji, and two other Domnijov foot soldiers, Giovanni Genovesi, known to his friends as Double G, and Ivan Puck Fedorov. A tinny rendition of Lexi Blue's I Wanna Lick Ya Lollipop is stumping through the elevator PA. Double G, a solid brick of tattooed muscle with no front teeth, is tapping his foot in time. "This song," he grunts, "very catchy." Nick Malakoff glares at the speakers, looking ready to stab somebody. The elevator doors open, spilling them out onto Docking Bay 17. Most of Heimdall's 24 bays were of similar configuration and design, same as most of these big station docks. It's a big space, lots of heavy equipment, forklifts, a rack of sealed actuator-assisted loading suits. The AALs are basically big enviro suits with hydraulic exoskeletons, used for heavy lifting in tight spaces or low grav. They stand about 3.5 meters tall, can lift a couple of tons if the pilot knows his game. Aside from Ella Malakova, the motley crew stalking into the bay represent the only House of Knives members still aboard Heimdall. Most of the cartel shipped back to Ares a week ago for the traditional HOK Terra Day celebrations in New Petersburg, and none of those remaining seem too happy about being on the clock. No Heimdall staffers, docking crew or otherwise are present. Presumably, they've been paid off by the Domnijov, and have clocked off early to head to the Terra Day party in C&C. All of the HOK crew are packing, mid-caliber pistols mostly, though Soraya is also sporting a long-handled cleaver, rumoured to have been the last thing husband number two ever saw. Nick Malakoff and Double G are smoking, probably tobacco, given the circumstances. Normally firing up a smoke aboard a space station would set off approximately 74,000 alarms. But Ella Malakova has overridden all the Docking Bay Enviro sensors. Every gang of interstellar criminals needs a vice after all. Nicky, in particular, is hitting his cigarette hard, looking at his timepiece and pacing like an expectant father. Motherfuckers are nearly 2 hours late. Handsome Mike tilts his head till the vertebrae pop. Patience, Nicky, patience. I got biz. This is biz. Other biz. Mike raises an eyebrow. At least, I think he does. Scars make it hard to tell. What kind of other biz? The kind with blue eyes and curves. Feel me? I thought Lucy's eyes were brown. Guffaws of laughter around the crew. Rumours about Nick's fondness for ladies of the bovine variety have obviously done the rounds. Malakoff the younger grins and raises his middle finger. His uncle smiles back and takes a bow. Looks like the boys kissed and made up after all. External cams show an express freighter synchronising rotation with Heimdall 40 minutes later. They're behind schedule, like Nick said. The freighter is huge. And I mean bigger than Buddha huge. Ugly. Weathered. It looks like a Griffin class from the Vitus shipyards, the same kind of long-haul workhorse you'd find at any dock around a colonised sector. Nothing remarkable about its exterior, except that it's so unremarkable. It's roughly rectangular, bow and stern flaring a little thicker than the middle. 8-storey thrusters are dwarfed by the sheer size of the thing. Micrometeor scars pit its skin. Name stenciled down its snout in big black letters. Mao. The freighter's way too big to dock direct, so it extends a long umbilical of segmented plasteel and iron weave Kevlar, locks onto Heimdall's docking doors. Inside, the heavy thunks of the Magnalocks echo around the bay as Nick lights another cigarette, tapping away at a palm pad between puffs. No one thinks it's out of the ordinary, by now Double G and Puck, are also on their palm pads playing a round of Shiv, and Handsome Mike is checking the scores on the traditional pre-Terra Day G-ball match between the Kepler Knights and the New Vegas Sabres. The game had been played the day before, but it took hours for the feed to hit the Heimdall waypoint, and from there, the station. Sabres are up, 48-24. A harsh electronic buzz reverberates around the bay. Several red globes above the airlock begin spinning, and the dock comp spits out an alert. Handsome Mike looks up from his game. Sup? Soraya is already at the bay door controls, stabbing at the console. Bad seal. Got a leak somewhere. System's trying to lock it down. Us or them? Us, I think. One of the mags didn't fire. Reboot and cycle the system, Mike spits between his teeth. Tell these cowboys to detach and try again. Nick Malikoff looks at his watch again, grinds out his cigarette on the deck and marches over to Mike, chewing his lip like it was rubber. Uncle Mike, I gotta jump. You can handle this, yeah? Malikoff looks his nephew up and down. This is your deal, Nicky. I know. But I got this slice and she doesn't like to be kept waiting. He tries a conspiratorial grin. She got a temper, feel me? Don't try that pretty boy smile on me, killer. Save them dimples for the tourists. Uncle Mike, come on. You got four crew here. You can handle one biotainer, Jesus. We can handle it, sure, but I let you slip early. What's in it for me? Malikoff runs a hand through his hair, sucks his lip. I'm due 10% finder's fee, yeah? I'll kick you back a clip of that. 10% of my 10. Handsome Mike scoffs. Fuck off. 20 then. 20. Mike spits through his teeth. 40. And you're taking Soraya's shift on birth detail. Jesus, I don't want to be there when those things hatch. Well, Soraya doesn't want to be there either, and I owe her a cool K for the Black Wings game. If I slam you her shift, she'll call it even. So Miss Curves gets stood up, or you butch up, lil' chum. Your call. When they hatch in. Tonight, staggered cycle. 3 per hour every hour till we're done. First ones will be saying hello around 2000 hours, I'm thinking. You show up for second shift. Call it 0100 hours. Christ, it's Terra Day, Uncle Mike. I'm going hard with Ella tonight. You really want me in there half-roasted when those things pop? I'll paint the fucking walls. So bring a bucket, killer. Nick makes a face, shoves his hands in his pockets. His palm pad rings again, and he glances at the screen. Sighs. Okay, all right. 30% and I'm yours on the morrow. Deal? Malikoff takes his nephew's offered hand and shows a gap-tooth grin. Hope she's worth it, Nicky. I'll let you know, he winks. If I'm not back by dawn, call the president. Nick slouches away as fast as he can, while still maintaining some semblance of chill, out of the docking bay doors, through the secondary airlock, and into the corridor beyond. Meanwhile, Soraya has been cycling the primary airlock seals again, and is finally rewarded with a faint ping and a shift from red to green in the globes above the doors. You may begin kissing my ass now, boys. Form an orderly queue when ready. Seal established, the Dom Nazhov crew waits as the male's umbilical pressurizes and fills with O2. After a few ticks, the bay doors cycle wide, revealing two figures in stock-built enviro suits. No markings or company ident. They step into the bay and remove their helmets. The first is a man, early 30s, dark hair shaved close to his scalp, tattoo of a biohazard symbol inked onto the back of his skull. The second is a woman, late 20s, platinum blonde hair sheared into a jagged fringe, clipped short back and sides, fit and lean. The pair touch hands, just the lightest brush of their fingertips. Then the man begins wandering around the bay's expanse, marking each camera location, blind spots, cover. Blondie looks around at the assembled crew. Where's Malikoff? She asks. I'm Malikoff, says Handsome Mike. Not the Malikoff I'm supposed to be meeting. One of us is as good as another. You got something for me, sweet? She blinks, stares hard.